Yeah, so we're wrapping up our series in relationships and real and relationships put together. And I just wanted to start off with a kind of a summary of where we've been so far. This is actually the 10th message in this series. And I just want to highlight kind of the things we've looked at and then just share a little bit about what's representing the pastors here. It's on our heart as a church community. So let's look at where we've been so far. So here's a little bit of a series overview. We started the series looking at the point of real relationship with God and one another. It happens when we know who the incredible God is and how he's created us for authentic kingdom community. This is based in knowing that we are created by him, but knowing that we are immeasurably loved by him. Do you believe that this morning? You are loved by God immeasurably. If you don't get anything out of the message, just get that one piece, and you'll do all right. The second thing, Jesus' ministry from the very start, before he did anything, was validated by the Father's dominant voice of affection. God not only loves you, but he has affection for you, which is the building block of all our relationships with one another. We looked at the family of origin, that if we had to be honest, we all grew up in dysfunctional families. Some are more dysfunctional, you know, than others. And some of you might be thinking like, oh yeah, I can think of that. And other ones maybe have more put together. But at the core, there's things that don't align with God. And we talked about moving from unhealthy patterns that we grew up with in our family and moving into the new patterns in the family of God. We looked at what it meant to know who Christ is and looking at what Christ did on the cross for us. And specifically, how Christ and in Christ we are able to be set free from addictive patterns. Do you believe God has power over addiction? Do you believe that this morning? He does. If you're struggling with addiction this morning, know that there is a God who loves you and has affection for you and can set you free in Jesus. I love talking about Jesus. We talked about moving from shame to joy, and what a great message that was. Tim Corbett was our guest speaker, shared. Really appreciate you, Tim, for sharing that. We talked about loving God and loving others. As we daily receive love from God, we can then give that out to others. And that's a theme you'll see throughout these series, and you'll actually see it in this morning's message as well. We looked at pursuing healthy relationships with people outside the church and doing whatever possible to allow them to help to respond to the love of God. God loves each one of us in here. God loves you. If this is your first time here, just know that God loves you. But God loves people outside of these walls. Amen? Amen? People we haven't even met yet, and hopefully are praying that we would meet. People that we have met and yet don't know Christ yet, and we're praying for. God loves people. We looked at what it looked like to do a three-step dance, the way John Ott put it, to put off the old self, the renewed in the mind, and then put on a new self. It wasn't actually dance classes, in case you missed it, but John does do a little bit of a dance when worshiping, which I appreciate. He knows how to move around. Number nine, we looked at rejecting lies of the enemy and using the sword of the Spirit, God's word, to be able to embrace God's truth. And it's really neat. Just recently this week, I just heard of a prayer meeting, and someone was sharing at a men's prayer, just still thinking about what lies as we take it in, and then just embracing God's truth. There's freedom. So sometimes we can get this weird thinking and stuff going on. Let's know God's truth so we can refute it. And this morning, we're going to be looking at pursuing authentic community. That's the subtitle of our series, specifically characteristics of authentic community. The passage we'll be looking at, which the pastors as a group we prayed about and we're landing here very intentionally, is Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. So if you want to turn in your Bible, feel free to do so. Turn on a device, you can do that as well. If you're Facebooking, try to read the Bible a little bit more. It's like, oh, there's a notification. Okay, easily distracted. But we're going to look at Colossians 3, verses 12 to 15. This is the Apostle Paul writing a letter to the church at Colossae, and he's explaining what the Christian community should look like. In the first two chapters, he's talking about putting off some old things, broken things, sinful things, and putting on some new things. This text, I think, is pretty easy to understand. Sometimes some biblical texts are a little bit more complex, but the impact is huge. If we, as a New Hope Community Church, not the building, but as the people, could embrace this text and the words in there and be like, we want to live this kind of community. We want to live with these kind of characteristics. It would just be incredible. It would be incredible because it would only be Christ who could do it, but God would be glorified. I believe a lot of people would be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's look at those characteristics in Colossians 3, 12 to 15. I'm going to read this passage twice. First is in the English Standard Version. This is a word-for-word translation from the original language, which is Greek. And then I'm going to be looking at a paraphrase called The Message, which is kind of on the other side. If you have a word-for-word, a paraphrase is kind of like what I would be doing, a pastor paraphrasing the text to make it more modernized. But I think it's helpful for us to kind of let this sit into our hearts. I remember when I was at Bible school, I was in a class, and I was just so moved because there was a professor. He took a portion of the book of Isaiah, and he read it four times in a row. He read it once, and it took about like a couple minutes to read it. Then he would pause. Then he'd read it again, and then he would pause. And then he'd read it again, and then he'd pause. And by the third time, I think most people were just breaking down in the room. Because there's sometimes I think we get lost, especially in Protestant evangelical, like trying to be more relevant. Sometimes we can lose just the respect and reverence for the Word of God, and just being able to take that into the core. By the time it was fourth time read, we were just blown away by the awesome of God. There was no preaching off of it, no paraphrase off of it. It was just listening to God and the Holy Spirit minister. So I'm really hoping and praying that God would also impact us in a special way this morning. But let's look at the verse 12. It says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. As we looked at this passage as a way to kind of finish our series, we decided, you know, it would be awesome to not just read it, but to really kind of make like a declaration, almost like a covenant as a community here. Let's live this kind of community. Wouldn't this be awesome to live this kind of community, that we would be clothed with compassion in our hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, loving one another, cultivating thankfulness? We thought it was something that God was putting on our hearts, and so we really wanted to focus in on this. And actually, before I go to the next slide, which will have what's on this, we took what the Message paraphrase has of this passage, and we made it kind of into something that we can remember, something that we can help us just remember what we're internalizing here. And I'm going to bring this up on the screen so you can see it. I know it's a little small up here. This is what it looks like. And it says, the preamble to it says, at New Hope Community Church, that's not referring to the building, that's referring to us, but at New Hope Community Church, we devote ourselves to pursuing authentic relationships according to the Word of God. And we really have on our hearts, there's four pastors here as we've been praying, Lord, let's go to this place. Let's have this kind of community. This isn't just for the Christians at Colossae who are receiving this letter from Paul. We believe through the Holy Spirit we can live this kind of characteristics. So I'm going to read this again in the Message, and I'm just going to switch it. This looks really cool, the font on this plaque here, but it's actually somewhat hard to read. So I'll bring it down to good old, I think, Arial font. So I'm going to read starting from verse 12 again. This is the Message paraphrase, so a little bit different, but receive, close your eyes, whatever is a good way to kind of focus in. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other and step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. As there's some neat ways, I think, of phrasing things. Eugene Peterson wrote the paraphrase, the message. But I like that portion. It's, where was it? Content, yeah, be even tempered, content with second place. That really, I think, is a good depiction of our Lord and Savior coming in humility and forgiving quickly and completely. It also talks about us being a body and not going off and doing our own thing. When I talk with young people nowadays, and especially even older, I've talked to older people too, there's this idea of I can just do life, me and Jesus, we'll keep it real, keep it cool. I don't need to be with anyone else. I don't know if you ever thought that way or maybe you know people. I don't need to be in church. I don't need to be in relationships with other people. Me, Jesus, you know, podcasts, video, TV, I got it. This is all I need. But if you look in scripture, there's really a whole lot more that's being missed, that we're called to be a body together. And so if you're at all struggling with that, I'm glad you're here because at least for some point you decided to come. But I would encourage you, let's be part of a body, not just sitting in chairs, but really building authentic relationships. So let's look at a couple things from this passage. In pursuing authentic community, we're going to revisit this at the end of the service because we're going to have, like, as our benediction closing, it's going to be more like a declaration. We're going to read this together, and I'm praying that it'll be more than just words that we're saying, but really a commitment from our heart. Lord, how can I, as an individual and a part of a body, live out these kind of characteristics through your grace? If each of us are desiring that, I think it'll make a huge difference. Is my audio still on or am I off? I'm on? Okay. I can't really tell. My voice seems to stay the same level. Mic's for decoration. But let's look at three different things from this passage. Pursuing authentic community. We want to know our identity in Christ. We want to be clothed in Christ's love and directed by Christ's peace. Everything's focusing and looking at Jesus. I hope that's okay this morning. It's not bad to be around a bunch of people that want to focus in on Jesus. So know our identity in Christ. As I was trying to build some relationships and community, I was hanging out with Crystal and I. We had Brendan, Emily, Lennox over for dinner this week. And Brendan actually told me about there's like this new fashion thing, and maybe some of you know about it. It was on the news like 4 days ago. This new fashion called mud jeans. Anyone ever heard of these before? I'll show you a picture of it so you get an idea. Mud jeans, or they're really referred to as distressed jeans. I'm not kidding. I was looking at this, and the thing is, like, okay, you've seen ripped jeans before, and like, all right, it's been around for a while, but mud jeans, artificial mud on jeans that are kind of distressed or ripped. And the thing that just kind of baffled my mind was the price on it. This one right here goes for $525, distressed mud jeans. I was looking at another pair of jeans. It just went a little bit over $1,600. Now, if you have those here and you're able to afford that, whatever, I'm not trying to, like, judge people's apparel. I was just shocked at the price. Like, how can the price go that high? I was thinking if I brought Crystal a pair of distressed mud jeans, you know, take out a small loan at the bank and then buy the jeans, you know, she'd be slapping me all up the side. And that's probably a good thing because I've gone crazy. But yeah, these distressed jeans. I was like, really? I was like, how? Like, what's so great about them? So I looked through the materials, and I'm just like, I don't see anything that seemed to stand out to me. And I'm like, and really, if this is like a thing right now, I had an idea. Maybe some of you guys were thinking this. Maybe we can go to Walmart, buy some $15 jeans, right? There's a couple awesome farmers in here who have manure pits. So I'm thinking, we'll get some people, maybe the youth group, they like to do stuff, you know, dip in the manure pit, you know, up to the knee. That's actually a certain style, just the mud up to the knee. And then you just sit in there, you put it on a rock, bake it at, you know, 20 minutes one side, flip it over, 20 minutes the other side. Not only will it be local and organic, real mud, but it'll have the smell of North Country manure. I'm telling you, we could sell 300 at a discount. So I'm just saying, you know, distressed mud jeans from the North Country. But I'm like, really? I'm like, what's the deal? So actually, I probably spent too much time on this. I actually looked at what went in here. Is there gold? Is there silver? Are they using diamonds? Like, maybe they're using precious metal. The materials are polyester, cotton, and spandex. I'm like, that sounds like almost every other pair of jeans, right? I was like, why are these jeans so expensive? And you know the only thing I could find out, or my reason why they were so expensive, is because of the name of the designer on the jeans. That's the only reason I could find. And I was just thinking about you and me and reading this text. You are incredibly valuable because you are made in the image of Christ and you have the designer's name on you. And sometimes in life, and I don't know where you're at this morning, you feel like, yeah, you put some mud, you made some bad decisions, and you're a mess. Well, guess what? The designer, the creator of you, loves to restore messy people. Amen? He loves to restore messy people. You are valuable because you have the designer's image. You are an image bearer of Christ. Whether you realize it or not, you are infinitely valuable in the eyes of our creator. So we need to know our value. And we also got to wear these jeans. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's move on. I get sidetracked. All right, let's know our identity in Christ. Let's look at something right here. Right off the I'm just going to take this verses by verses right from the context. Know our identity in Christ. Three things Paul writes. It's like, as God's chosen ones, holy beloved. Let's just pause right there. God's chosen one. God is infinitely majestic and beautiful and independent. He does not need you or I at all. He existed before he created planets and the universe, before he made Adam and Eve. Completely independent. Sometimes we can kind of have a weak view of God. Oh, you must be a God that needs me and like whatever. He doesn't need us at all. He's eternal. He existed before time. But it's so awesome that God created you and I and that we're valuable, but he chose you. You are chosen by God. You are holy. That word means set apart. What Jesus did on the cross and dying for our sins, we were and are a mess without Jesus. Jesus came to die for messy, sinful people like you and I, that the righteousness of God could be imputed, literally be clothing you in his righteousness, that you might be set apart or holy. And lastly, he says, you are beloved, or other translations say dearly loved. I just love when the Bible just writes it right out like that. You are dearly loved. You are chosen, you are set apart, and you're dearly loved. We need to know our identity in Christ before we start looking at characteristics like Christ. The importance of this, if you know you're valuable, you don't have to fake it or try to impress people to hope that they say something that makes you feel valuable. Are you with me? You don't have to do that. I know I am valuable as a son and daughter of the Most High. I do not have to live in a prideful stance and hope out of insecurity someone would affirm me. Know that God affirms you daily. We just have to listen. If you're looking at all the messes you made in life and your sinful brokenness, know that in Christ you can be made holy, not apart from him. Come to him, surrender, ask for forgiveness. And oftentimes we can get into relationships that are unhealthy because we're desperately seeking a love that only our Heavenly Father can fill. We try to fill a void with a relationship, buying into Hollywood's theme that 50% of a man and 50% of a woman getting together will make 100%. But it only true is that in Christ you are 100% fulfilled. We look for love in the wrong places. And maybe you've been jumping from relationship to relationship to relationship and wondering, why can't I ever find satisfaction in this love? I think you're on the right pursuit, but you're just going the wrong direction. That love can be found in God. Know our identity in Christ. So now we want to talk about some characteristics. The message paraphrase talks about put on a wardrobe or put on clothing. This clothing that's only in Christ. All these attributes Christ has. So let's look at that. Clothed in Christ. And you'll see it right from the text. So I'm just going to take these words kind of one at a time. Spend time on ones more than others, but let's look at them this morning. So the first thing it says is put on compassionate hearts or hearts of compassion. I love when Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, he sent another letter to them in Philippians 2 verses 1 to 2. It's this if-then kind of scenario. He says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind. Having the same love, being in a full accord and of one mind. I love this passage because it's like an if-then scenario. If you have any encouragement with Christ, if you have love and you're receiving that, then be of the same mind. You don't get to be able to love people on your own. It's only as we're daily spending time with God. And I don't know if you've been coming here for a while. You know Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You're just here visiting. I don't know, but God knows where you're at. But I encourage you, there is such an importance to be able to spend time with God throughout the day. to be able to know his love and then be of the same mind and the same love and to share that. Sometimes we can get into relationships or difficulties, and it's like, why am I faltering in love, or why am I falling short? I would just like to ask the question, when's the last time we spent time with God? When's the last time we prioritized that over everything else and just got loved on so that we could be of the same love and love others, that we would have compassionate hearts, clothed in Christ's love? Next, Paul talks about kindness. He wrote in Titus 3:4-7, it says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Isn't that great? God's kindness, sending God, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own mercy. We want to reflect Christ's kindness to one another. And as I'm listing these different attributes of Christ and attributes we're longing to grow in as a community of believers, maybe there's one that the Holy Spirit might be showing, that's a real area I want you to grow in. Be open to what God might be wanting to speak to you as we're looking at his word. Next thing is humility. Humility, and then the next one's meekness. When Paul was writing this letter to the church at Colossae, this wasn't like something that everyone was like, yay, humility, yay, meekness. In the culture, that was actually looked down on. And I don't really know if humility or meekness are really looked up on now either. I think they're probably looked down on, you know. It's like you want to be courageous and visionary and charismatic and bold and strong. It's like, humility, probably be in last place. Meekness, you get run over, right? You know, it's like you don't want to do that. No, but Christ is saying, and Paul, through Paul, that this is attributes we should have as a church body. I love what Paul shares to the church of Philippi again, Philippians 2:3-7. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition. Do nothing. Not like the majority of things, but it says no thing. Literally, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you not look only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. This is a beautiful thing, I think, of just the marriage context. If you have a husband and wife, and we have examples in here too, but spouses that they want to live out this kind of Christ humility, where the whole idea isn't I'm number one and my spouse needs to serve me, but being very okay with second, being like, how can I humbly serve my spouse? How can I sacrificially love my spouse? And if you've seen this, you know what I'm talking about. It's a beautiful picture. Instead of the classic, you know, I need to get this, and you need to get this, and you're just trying to get. It's, Lord, how can I give? How can I serve? How can I humbly love my spouse? And now we think of a church community, a bunch of relationships, young and old, men and women. Imagine if we were walking in this kind of humility, that we daily pulled away with Jesus to hear from him. So when we had gatherings and getting together for home groups and prayer groups and small groups and outreach groups and weekend services, walking into the service of, Lord, I know who I am in Christ, so I am so glad to take second, and I just want to lift someone up today. Imagine what that would look like. I think it would radically change families, marriages, our entire church, walking in humility. The next one is meekness. You don't really hear this word used. I actually never heard this in a context like, hey, that person's really meek. Like, I don't know if you, but I don't hear meekness a lot. Another use of the word is gentleness. And I like the context that when Paul wrote the letter to the church at Galatia, he talked about using gentleness in the way of restoring someone. He says, brothers, if any of you is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Real practical use. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. May we walk in meekness, clothing ourselves, adorning ourselves with meekness and gentleness. Some of these other ones, we have patience. Other uses of this word is endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance. I remember being at a conference down in Rochester and a pastor was speaking on, if you're lacking perseverance, if you're in a season right now that's very difficult and you find yourself faltering quite often, he was just mentioning the power of prayer. Oftentimes our patience level and our endurance and our perseverance level is directly tied to our prayer level. Are we going deeper in the things of prayer? There's a deeper perseverance that goes, a deeper dependency on God. And oftentimes as the perseverance and the patience wanes, our prayer also has already waned before that moment. How are you doing with patience this morning? Moving on, it says, bearing with one another. And it's not necessarily specifically hitting on sin issues, like broken, muddy issues in our lives, which, you know, we all got those. The Bible makes that clear. But it's talking about bearing with one another and just that we're all different. My wife, Crystal, and I, we were checking out one of those personality tests this week. Are you guys familiar with those? You can take them online, and sometimes you're like, wow, this nails me. And other times you're like, oh, this is scary because I don't think I'm that person. But they're just a fun gauge. But we all have different personalities. Some of us are a lot more assertive. Some of us are very passive. Some of us are really relationally driven. Coming to a group this size is like, this is like heaven on earth. While others of you are like, this is so scary. I just want to be home right now. We all have different things. Some of us are like, we just want to get tasks done and make it happen. The cool thing is God designed us with all these different personalities. And that's great. But sometimes, as you know, you can kind of hit heads, not necessarily doing something wrong. You just got a different way of like looking at things or doing things. So Paul's saying, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bear with one another. When you got differences and different things, bear with one another. And then the part that he kind of expounds on the most, which I think is very significant, he says, forgiving one another. This isn't an optional accessory. This isn't an optional commandment. But forgiving one another as the Lord has forgiven you. And the Message paraphrase is said to do it quickly and completely. This is something I think that can unlock a relationship that's broken, a marriage that is broken, and churches that, even churches, we can have broken pieces as well. But forgiveness. As we're moving forward into the things of God and wanting to reach more people with Jesus, it's just natural. We're none of us are perfect. We'll bump heads. But if we're all committing to this, that we're like, you know what? When we bump heads with a brother or sister, when there's something that hurts, I'm gonna go quickly to forgive and completely. I'm not going to hold on to it for a year or months or 20 years. And sometimes we can have stuff way, way past that we try to bury. And maybe you're struggling with that this morning. Something that you're just like, I think I can just bury this, and I really hope this doesn't pop up again. But as we know, if you have pain, unforgiveness, it doesn't actually die just by trying to avoid it. The only way to get there is actually through actually acknowledging it. It can be painful. I remember when my dad in New Hampshire, he was using a chainsaw and he was cutting a log and the log was bouncing like a diving board. I don't know exactly what happened, but he was using a chainsaw and the chainsaw just jumped and then just like cut right into his thigh. It was nasty. So he had this really nasty cut. I don't like blood and stuff, so I'm not trying to gross you out or me. But there's like all these twigs and pieces of bark and all this stuff in his leg. My mom's a nurse practitioner. And she had to do this, it was just like disgusting, just taking a tweezer and like pulling out like some bark and, you know, maybe a little caterpillar. No, I'm just kidding. There's no caterpillar in there. But you know what I mean? You're just pulling stuff out. But the whole reason for that, you could have the option of like, well, let's just put a Band-Aid over it and hope it heals, right? Just move on. Let's just move on, hope the thigh heals and no infection. But as we know, that would be terrible. But it was through the process. It was painful. My dad was in an incredible amount of pain when it was getting things pulled out of his leg. But it was to bring him to a place of healing. And I think that's what God wants to do with us with forgiveness. And if there's things that are buried, it is painful, but God can give you the strength and the grace to get through that and be made whole. Let us move as one body, forgiving one another, as the Lord has forgiven you. That is the reason for forgiving, but it also shows you the level of forgiveness. If you ever think, I can't do this, who's done this for me, I'm a victim, just look at what the Savior did who died for you on the cross. Greatest example of forgiveness. Paul then wraps up saying, above all these things, put on love. This is like the primary garment. You could say almost as the other things are accessories or other clothing items. But above all else, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. May we be able to gather together and pray together and share together in an atmosphere of love. May we be able to teach one another and rebuke one another and correct one another in an atmosphere of love. That when people can see brothers and sisters in Christ gathering, the number one thing that they would see which would be an awesome prayer to see happen, is it would be a community of love. That's what the Bible makes clear, that when people can see one another loving, us loving each other with the love of Jesus, it's so radically different. How can so many people with so many different opinions and personalities and focuses, different political opinions, love each other with this kind of love? It's only through Jesus. It's only through his grace. I want to wrap up with just one quick thing before I pray. I'm going to invite the musicians to come up now, and then I'll be praying in just a moment. We want to be directed by Christ's peace. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That word rule also is a word that's used as it's kind of like an umpire if you're in the baseball. Someone that's determining and figuring out what's safe and what's out, or in this case, directing or controlling. And may we be a community that's directed by God's peace, that would be controlled by God's peace. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi saying, let the peace of God guard your heart and mind. And that word guard is used for like a castle guard at like at an entrance. And it's guarding the people inside the inhabitants from getting attacked, but it's also guarding the people inside the inhabitants from going to some place where they'll get hurt. And that's the kind of peace God wants to have for us, one that would help filter and make decisions that would really honor him and keep us in community. And lastly, it says to cultivate thankfulness. And maybe that can be hard for some this morning. Real practical step for cultivating thankfulness, grab a piece of paper or a pen, just start writing down things that you're thankful for. And you might say, I have nothing to be thankful for, nothing. Maybe your life's really hard, it's been hard for years. I encourage you, as you write something, you might have to start like 20, 30 years ago, start with one thing. Maybe just start that you have oxygen to breathe. Thank you, God, that I'm alive today. Thank you, Lord, for the friend you gave me. But we want to be cultivating thankfulness, not just on a piece of paper, it's a good place to start, but with one another. So as I mentioned, at the end of the service, we're going to have a time as like a declaration, a covenant moment together. We'll read this together, but I just want to close in prayer. And we're going to have the musicians leading us in worship. At the end of several songs, we're going to have family communion, which is really neat. It's actually purposely put later in our service to allow the children to come back from junior church. So we're going to go in time of music. But I'll just pray, and then we'll go into time of worship and music. Thank you, Lord, for your kind of radical love for us. Lord, if we don't get anything out today, Lord, I pray that we know that we are tremendously loved by you. And Lord, I pray that we would be a community that would be built upon, that we would grow deeper in your love, these characteristics, God, but that it would be your love, that many could see the love of Jesus, God, and give glory to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.